All right, so let's just define the difference between the Ramban and the Ritva. So just quickly, as the Ramban's Havamina was that it's like a different process of Tara. That was his Havamina. But his Havamina is that it's not Tumah. We're not talking about Tumah over here. In terms of Tumah, the Tumah they're dealing with is Tumas Mace. It's a different concept, right? It's like the Rishonim quote the Yerushalmi. You saw that? I think you're all aware of it, but the Lashon of the Yerushalmi is, the Ran quotes, all the Rishonim quoted, I think. It says, what's the idea of the Tvila? It says, Mipnei sheyatzu mitumaso shel ovdei kochavim v'nichnasu l'kidushasol shei Yisrael. Right? It's a din of kedusha. It's yatzu mitumaso shel ovdei kochavim v'nichnasu l'kidushasol shei Yisrael. But it's not a real inyan of tumah and tara. It's not a regular case of tumah and tara. Tara from tumah from a maga, which is normally how we have an idea of tumah. So the Ramban held that we know it's not a regular case of tumah and tara. So the to the Havamina was it's not a normal process of tara. It's not a normal process of tara. It's a different form of tara. It's not a tara of putting it in the mikvah. It's a tara of, I don't know what. It's like a, it's not bobamayim, but it's just like a tibobamayim. Lahatbilobamayim, but you don't have to actually immerse it. But whatever it would be, I don't know. Some it would be a gzera. The point is, his havamin is that the gzera, it's a separate, it's a new institution of tara, a new process of tara. Just like we wouldn't. Imagine, we wouldn't dream up any process of Tara. We wouldn't be able to. It's like the Rambam says. What does the Rambam say in the end of Mikvos? He says Tumah is Xeris Hakasuv is a chok, and Tara of Mikvah is a chok. Right. You ever see the Rambam? Interesting stuff. Usually. So he says, Davar bar v'goli sh'atumos v'hataros gzeiros ha'kosuf hein. Right? V'ein ha'midvarm sh'daito sh'adam machro asoson. It's gzeiros, tumah and tara is gzeiros ha'kosuf. It's not something a person figures out. Okay? V'rein mechlole ha'chukim. Mechlal ha'chukim, it's a chok. V'ein ma, so that's tumah and tara. Right? That's the fact that a person or an entity can go between a state of tumah and tara. V'chein ha-tevila min ha-tumah mechlal ha-chukim hein. Right? And also, tevila is included in the chukim. Shein ha-tumah tit o-tzoa she-tavar b'mayim el gzeras ha-kosavi v'adavar toli b'kavonas ha-lev. Okay. But the point is like this. In other words, he's saying that tumah and tara, why is it two things? He says tumah and tara is a chok, and tevila is a chok. Right? Now, as you might say, because sometimes you'll say that once you have the institution of, once you know there's an institution, then there's a certain sense to different particulars of it. Right? They're saying tumah and tara is a chok, and just because you have tumah and tara, it doesn't make sense naturally that tefillah b'mayim should work. Right? If I would tell you a certain dirt is something that you can't have on you. So then it would be something that's sensible. Okay, washing it off would be a process of removal. But the tumah and tara is not a physical thing that is on you. So what is going into a mikvah do to remove it? Right? Okay, so you want to say it's a remez. You take a look at it. It's a nice musr. But the point I'm making over here is you can't ask on the Akash and the Ramban, that seems like a strange idea of Tara to dip something into the mikvah. The whole thing is strange. The whole thing is strange. So, but the point is, nothing is something that the Das would figure out. It's not like a Mishpatim. But the point is that his Havamina was that since it is a different form of Tumah, it's a different cause. It's not a Tevilah. of removing a tumah natara. So he says it makes sense for the havamina in the pasuk to be that it's a different form of tara. Kamash Malan, it's the same exact tara that we always have. There's nothing new in terms of the process that's being posited. It's just a new cause, right? But I think that's why he likes it better, because he holds that it's obvious it's a whole different kind of an institution. So the first havamina should be that it's a different kind of a process, right? Kamash Malan, it's the same process of Tevila B'mikvah. Whereas the Ritva is starting out saying it should be the same, it should be the ordinary process of Tara. Kamash Malan, it's different. But what's the difference between the Ramban's different process and the Ritva's different process? See, the Ramban's different process is a whole thing, is a whole different concept. It's a whole different institution. It would be a new thing. There would be tevila and a mikvah. There'd be hazah of mei nida, and then there'd be a tibul into the mikvah. You'd have three forms, right? But the ritvas is different, and the tosfos are different. They're saying it's the same form of tevila. It's just whether it's in the mikvah of Kalim or in the mikvah of Adam. So apparently the Ramban doesn't like that. He doesn't like that for two reasons. I think he doesn't like the idea that the original Havamina should be that it's normal and the Maskana is that it's different. On the contrary, the whole thing is different. So I should assume at first it's different, right? Plus, he holds that if it's different, it should really be a different form, not just pushing you onto the tevila of an Adam. What's the shaykhus of that? Okay. All right, let's go to the next question. But I mean, the Maskana, the Ritva's idea is very nice. It is a nice idea. How he gets there is a good question, but it's a nice idea that he holds. There's no reason to assume there's a new form. But the chiddush, the gzeiras hakosav is that it should reveal its nature. The nature of the tvila is not a nature of tumantara, but a nature of a new definition, like tvila sager. It's hard to start splitting it any further. I mean, I don't know. Something you have to think about, but it's difficult. Okay, let's take the next question. Ready? What about the Hair of Shemesh? Yeah. I saw someone explaining that Hair of Shemesh Kenida. He wants to say it doesn't mean the Nida, doesn't mean in terms of the Isser Tashrish of the Nida, because the Nida goes to the mikveh at night, but it means to say that the nida couldn't eat truma until the next night. Whereas if a nida goes to the mikveh, then she can't eat truma until the following night. Like a regular case of a tumas sheretz. If a person touches the sheretz, goes to the mikveh, he can't eat truma until nightfall. But anyway, what kind of an idea would that be? Hair of Shemesh. It's a funny havmina, right? That you might think that what? That the tevila of the tevilas kelim would not be we wouldn't be able to use the kli until Hair of Shemesh. Kamash Malan, you can use the kli immediately. Kamash Malan, you can use the kli immediately. I mean, Hair of Shemesh is really only shayach to tumah and tara. So, like we said a couple of years ago when we were doing the sugya in Kriyashma, because the you said that is night. What's the idea of Hair of Shemesh? The idea of Hair of Shemesh means that there still is an association to the Tumah. In other words, Tumah and Tara, Tumah really Bechlal is really a phenomenon of association. The whole process, the whole idea of Tumah is a phenomenon of association. That's Mago. right? You have the sheretz is the avatuma itself, right? The avatuma, you can never remove the tuma from the sheretz. You can put the sheretz in the mikvah, but it's not going to change the definition of the sheretz, right? That's a tovel sheretz biyado. You can't be tovel. You can't. The tefillah is ineffective on the primary identity of tuma. But when a person touches a sheretz, he's only tamei by association. He only has tumas sheretz. Right? The maga is a direct association. So the tara removes that association. But still, the yom itself, until the yom is over, he still has some link to the tumah that he was in. It's a complicated story because it depends on what you want to do. Right? The greater the kedusha, the more fully you have to be broken from the association to sheretz. Okay. But the point is that the idea of Harav Shemesh means that the tevila is removing a relationship. It's removing some sort of a relationship, and you can say that until Harav Shemesh, the yom itself is at tziruf to the prior state. So apparently the Kamash Malon here is, it's not like a tumah and tara of breaking the relationship. It's a whole new definition. It's part of the new kavius. You only say relationship when the chefza is the same, but you're just trying to change a certain attribute, right? It's association, but the tevilas kelim is really like redefining it completely. So then, redefining it completely as a gersha, well, you want to say gersha niskaya, is kutin shenol adami. There's no inyan of Harav Shemesh. It's like a whole new beginning. There's no inyan of the past. All right, let's go further. I know you guys didn't work on this. So let's go a little further. Next case. Next, who wants to read? Amar Rav Nachman, Rabba Ravua. Right? They're up to? Right. So Rav Nachman wants to say, in name of Rabba Bar Avua, that even Kelim Chadashim, you even have to do Tvila on Kelim Chadashim. Now, what was the case in the Psukim? Is not Kelim Chadashim. The case in the Torah is definitely use Kelim. That's the whole case, right? That because they had to do Hagolah on the Kelim first. So he says, even Kelim Chadashim. How does he say that Kelim Chadashim? Go ahead. Right. Because he says the old ones, right, the Yishonim, the Pasuk is talking about old Kelim. But if you take a Kelim, Yishonim, you take old Kelim, and you do Liban on them, then they're like new. So the Torah tells you take the Kelim, do Liban on them, and then do Tvila. So his argument is, after Liban, they're like new already. So you see, the fact that you have to do tevila on a new kli, on a kli after Liban, is the same as doing as tevila on a kli that's new. Does that make any sense?
Well, you see that the need for tevila is independent of a kashrus issue.
It is. But maybe it's something that was used, has to be tovel. I mean, the libun is just removing the iser. Why isn't it like any other case? I'll make an argument to you like this: a guy who doesn't touch a sheretz, right, has to go to the mikvah. Why? Because even the guy who's holding the sheretz, when he puts it down, he's not touching it anymore, right? And he still has to go to the mikvah. So even someone who's not touching a sheretz, the whole thing doesn't make sense. You can't. Why don't I say, if you're going to really look at it like you look at the need for tara, right? You say, look, the kli was used with iser, so you have to get rid of the iser. You can't put it in the mikvah when the iser is in it. If the iser is the reason why you're doing the tefillah, let's assume not like Rav Nachman. Let's assume the reason for the tefillah is because of tam. Right? Let's assume the reason for the tefillah is tam. right? So it would have to be that it's absurd to that it won't work out if I did leave one. But it would. I'll say like this. The isser, the reason for the tefillah is tam, right? Now, can I, if the reason for the isser is tam, can I do tefillah when the tam is still in it? No, of course not. So I have to do Liban to get rid of the tam, and then do tefillah. Well, what does he mean that after Liban it's like it's new? No, after the only reason why you do Liban is to get rid of the tam. But who's to say that something that, how do you see from that if something had no tam, it would still be chayv in tefillah, right? And let's think about it conceptually. What does it mean? What does it mean, an old kli or a new kli? Right? So you're saying an old kli means that the cause is that it was used b'isser. It was used with nevelos. Right? And new. New would mean what? What's that? So what's the reason for it? What's the reason for the tefillah? The ownership of the guy, right? So that's what Rav Sheshet says. As if you're going to tell me it's not based on use, right? Let's just finish up the Gemara and we'll come back and analyze it. That's Rav Sheshet's kasha. You're telling me it's not based on use. So then what's it based on? Ownership, right? Oh, so if I buy a pair of scissors from a guy, I should have to tovel it, right? So we have our question, and Rav Sheshet has his question. But we'll have to see, both of them have to be answered. Right? Our question is, we don't really see why Liban makes it new. I mean, it doesn't make it never used. I mean, there still is a difference between something that was used and the issa was removed from, and something that was never used. Couldn't sell it as a new kli, right? So what does he mean? What's his argument that Liban is like it's new? No, Liban is just removing the Isser from being used, from when it was used. And on top of that, Rav Sheshet has a good question. He says, if you're going to tell me it doesn't have anything to do with use, so then it has to do with ownership. But if it's ownership, so then why isn't it everything? Buy a pair of scissors. I should have to kasher. So what does he answer to that question?
You don't have to kasher a pair of scissors if they're used.
What's that?
If you buy a pair of scissors from a guy that he's been using
for what?
You don't have to, for whatever.
Right.
You don't have to.
Do you not? Pair of scissors to cut your hair? Pair of scissors to cut paper? No, you have to kasher.
Right.
So that's his kasher. He's saying, but if you're going to tell me it's not based on use, it's just based on ownership, so then he owns everything. Now, if you're going to tell me it's based on use, then I'll say, look, he didn't use... He never used the rake. I buy a rake from a guy. He doesn't use a rake with any Isser V'Heter. He uses the rake with dirt. So only things that are used with Isser V'Heter need tevila, right? But if Rav Nachman says that's nothing to do with actually being used, so then what does it have to do with? Then it must be that anything the guy owned. Now, as I tell you, look, he has a brand new pot. You have to tovel it. Why? Why? Why would you say why?
Guy owned it.
He owned it. So I say, well, here's my rake. Why don't I have to tovel this? Guy owned it. And if your answer for the tefillah is because the guy owned it, then that's Rav Sheshet's question. So he owned the rake too, right? If the answer, if you say the dirty pot, you have to do agala because he used it. So I'll say, what about the rake? I say, well, I don't think he was raking food with the rake, so he never used it for food. But if you're going to tell me it has nothing to do with use, so then it must be it has to do with ownership. Oh, so he owns everything equally, right? So what's the Gemara's answer? So what's Rav Nachman's answer? Omar Lay. Yeah. He says the Torah only mentions clay suda. That's it. Daksiv kol dover she yovel beish vein derech l'shtamish ayidea or elakelim shel tzorki suda ubahanu ksiv v'toher tevila avol zuzah desar b'lolo. Yep. So the funny answer just says, well, that's it. That's the Gzeiras Kosev.
What about things like
there are other things that come into contact with fire that aren't using the tefillah?
Kol shetov v'esh, what does he say? Ein derech l'shtamish ayidei ha'or el kelim shel tzorkei suda. Yeah. I mean, there are questions about what is included in tzorkei suda. I think we'll try to go into some of the practical shilas on the Fridays. But what's his... what's the shakla v'tayiv there? What's the question and answer for Rav Nachman and Rav Jesus? Okay, so let's take my question first, though. The new. What does he mean, new? How does Liban make it new? Yeah.
Right.
And could he apply the argument to Agala as a question? Yeah. He doesn't. It doesn't seem that would work. Okay, that's an interesting possibility. All right, so one possibility is that Liban is different. What does he mean Liban is like Chadashim? Because the state of Liban is really is putting the metal back into the state where you form it, basically. Right? The way they form metal is they make it red hot, and then you can work with it. So it's like putting it back into the kiln, putting it back into the way it was made, like a rebirth. Yeah, it's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea. But would you say this would work by Tumah and Tahara in general?
No, that's just a different idea. So.
Yeah, but isn't he making some sort of an argument here? I mean, that's a different idea.
Whether or not the Shema still plays a relevant role.
But by Tumah and Tahara, if you break a Kli and fix it, it'd be Tahara. Right? By Tumah and Tahara, it is true. If you remove the shame, if you break the Kli, so you remove the shame Kli, then you repair it. It's midrashis. It's tar. Midrabanan. We say it's reinstituted. Now, are you saying that that's what's happening over here? Are you saying that it's like it's being destroyed and reformed? Because then it should work by tumah and tahara. It doesn't. I'll just tell you that. I don't think it does.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about if it's the same idea.
See, I don't think it has to do with. I don't think it has to do with the reformation of the kli. You slightly changed it a minute ago, right?
Okay.
You said a different word.
Sterilization. Well, from both aspects. I said sterilization or reformation.
Yeah, but my problem with reformation is that if it's reformation, it should apply to all Tumah and Tahara. That's my problem with reformation. If it's really a svar of reformation, so then that means to say you can't, I'm going to attempt a logical argument here. You can't reform something without removing the old form first. That's the re in the forming. You can't reform something and say the old form is still here, right? So if you're going to say it's an idea of reforming the kli, that's a fancy way of saying destroying the old kli and making a new kli, right? But if that really were the idea, then it would have to be true by Tumah and Tahara. And if it's not true by Tumah and Tahara, then why would he think that then he'd have no basis to propose it? In other words, there's no halacha that I could find that if you take a kli that's tamei, get it red hot, it becomes tahara. Okay?
But natural reformation is there.
But if you cracked it, you drilled a hole in the bottom of the kli, and then patched it up, it would be tar. Because you lose the shame kli. Once you lose the old shame kli, there's no place for the tumah to exist. That's a story in the Gemara. It's a funny story in the Gemara that, I forget who it was, one of the Malka, Hilni HaMalka, one of these cases that there was a big party. The Malka was planning a big celebration, and all the kelim got tameh. So someone there gave her the advice to crack everyone and repair it. They didn't have time to take them all to the mikveh or something, whatever it was. So they broke everyone and repaired it. So anyway,
far away.
I guess so. But we hold midrabanan it doesn't work. But anyway, so what is the idea? I think the way you're starting out the second way is better. That let's assume it has to do with being used. Okay? Let's assume it has to do with being used. But his Rav Nachman's svara was that if you took a used kli, what's the difference between libun and hagola? That's what we have to ask for a minute. What's the difference between libun and hagola? Hagola really is diluting the tam. Right? You take the, you have isser in a pot, so you need to have, the way hagola works is that we say the tam in the pot gets into the water, it gets diluted into the water, and it becomes bottle. Right? That's why we hold, if you're kashering something, you have to have 60 times the amount in the of water than the isser that's going into it. Otherwise, the isser will just come out and come back in. Right? The process of hagola is really a process of diluting and minimizing the presence of the isser. You can't ever remove it completely. You're just going to always cut it down. You're just going to reduce it. Right? So the process of hagola doesn't really renew, doesn't really remove the isser. But libun is different. Libun is a totally different process. What's the process of libun? That's right. It destroys it bimkomo. It destroys the isser in its place. That's why, even though we say you can't kasher a kli cheres, if you would take a kli cheres and put it back in the kiln, it would really be kosher. Because all this will be destroyed. We just say you can't get it out through hagala. So in the framework of contamination of isser, if you're going to tell me it has to do with its use with isser, then libun is the ultimate eradication of every trace of its use. You understand? It's the complete removal of any trace of its use at all. So in the sense of usage, libun is like a renewal. You understand? That's Rav Nachman's argument. I don't think the argument is based on the idea that the kli is bottle and then renewed. That would seem to me to be too far. But he holds, in terms of usage, like Yehuda said, sterilized. You go to the doctor and he has all of his kalim. You say, well, did you ever use this on a patient before? So if he gave it a good scrubbing, you wouldn't feel too comfortable. But when it comes out of that oven, it's, what do they call that? There's a word for that. Yeah. In the framework of the usage of tam, this is a complete renewal, complete sterilization. So that's his argument. But then what Rav Nachman was asking him, I mean, Rav Sheish was asking him, says, so then you're showing me that it's not associated with tam. So then what's it associated with? It has to be just ownership. Yeah. So he says it's Xeris Kasov. But there's a very interesting ritva on this. The ritva. Yeah, listen to the ritva. The ritva says like this. He says, Klei Suda Amurim Beparsha. Pirish. Umishum Disofan Lishtamesh Beisser. Vietsu Likidusha. It's v'yatzu l'kedusha. Hitzricha makosav tevila af b'chadoshim. Masha'en kein bezuzah desarbla. Difficult ritva, right? Ritva says, why do chadoshim need tevila? Because sofan l'shtamish b'iser. Eventually they'll be used. It's true that they're new now, but he's saying eventually the new kalim will also be used with iser. As opposed to shears are never going to be used for iser. And since now they're going to a kedusha, they need tefillah. So what the Gemara is explaining, according to the Viva, is like this. That the need for the tefillah is not the metzias of the tam. Right? It has nothing to do with the tam or the nevela as a like a metame. Not like a physical, it's not a physical issue of tumah that we're worried about. It's not a contamination, for instance. It's not what we're saying. The goyim's kelim have contamination, so you have to remove it with the mikvah, with the tefillah, because liban is a total eradication of every trace of the past usage, right? But what is it? What really is the whole inyan of tefillah? What really is the whole inyan of tefillah? So this is where you have to come up with a svara, because it seems like it's contradictory. He's saying, on the one hand, he's saying it has nothing to do with use, because once you do tefillah, once you do the libun, you removed all the traces of the use. But on the other hand, the Ritva is saying it's because they will be used, right? So what is it? Is it the use or is it not the use? I mean, yeah, what do you got? You got a svara there? Yeah. So it's basically the basic hashkafa of the basic philosophy of the tefillah kelim. And what is it? What are we really doing the tefillah for? What's really the idea of tefillah? It's not the idea. It's not the physical contamination of the food. What is it? In other words, it really has to do with this, idea that we eat and they eat, right? We have clay suda there. We eat and they eat. But there's an idea of the Kedushas Yisrael. Where is Kedushas Yisrael expressed? Machol Sesuros. Right? The Rambam Sefer Kedusha. Machol Sesuros is an expression of Kedushas Yisrael. So what we say is like this. The Achila of the Oved, the Achila of the Goy is really an Achila that's driven by Taiva. That's predominantly the Derech Achila of the guy. It's driven by desire. But we have a different derech achila. Our achila is, we use achila only as a derech of sustaining ourselves for a higher purpose, right? That's like they say, some people eat to live and some people live to eat, right? So we don't, we eat to live. We have a purpose. The achila has a certain kedusha to it. It has a certain limitation, certain purpose, as opposed to just an indulgence. So that's what the clay suda mean. It means it doesn't. That's the idea of eating. It doesn't mean because it has contamination from what they did with it physically, but yet it's not any household clay. It's an item that represents a certain kvius of a derech of living. Their clay suda, not because of what they actually ate, requires an elevation, but because of the type of use that it's destined for, the type of use that it's kavua for. So it's true, it's new, and it was never used before, but that's what the Ritva means. It will be used eventually. It means there was a kvius in the kli already for a certain lifestyle. When the Yisrael takes it from the guy, he has to demonstrate a whole new idea, a whole new relationship to eating. When we buy this, when we take clay suda from an akum, we're not using it the way that they destined it to be used. We're really changing its whole definition. We're not just using their clay suda, because their clay suda had a certain purpose. We're not going to engage in the kli biderech akum. That would be a suda of taiva, suda of gluttony. So that's the idea. That's really the underlying idea of the tefillas kelim. That's the Yerushalmi. That it's going out of their it's going into a kedusha. Right, it's leaving the derech of the what is your shaman saying? Mipnei sheyotzu mitum also shel ovei kovim v'nichnasu lekedushas l'shei Yisrael. Okay, and that's what he's saying. That's what even chadashim. It's not like a contamination idea. It's an ideology of achila that we have to break. So if I take a whole set of clay suda and I don't do the tefillah first, it implies that I'm just doing a hemshech of the kelim that I took. The kelim had a certain kvius, and I'm fulfilling that kvius. No, We can't be fulfilling the kviyas of the kelim that were the way they were made. On the contrary, we have to purify the whole thing first in the mikveh to show that we're not just a hemshech of the, we're not a continuance of the way these kelim were designed. We're using them for our own design. What's the matter, Levi? That's even chadashim. Because chadashim have a sof, they have a kviyas. Okay. And he thought it meant, so Rav Sheshes thought it was either the idea of the mamashas of the nevela, or what? Okay, so what was Rav Sheshes' idea? That's a good question. So he thought it meant ownership. He thought it meant, as he was saying, okay, I understand your idea that it's not like on a basic level of contamination, right? Sorry, right? He says, but then why should it be limited to clay suda? Then you'll say everything the guy does differently. Rav Sheshes' argument was that's a very nice idea that it has to do with that doesn't have to do with like a physical contamination. It has to do with an ideology. But then it could be extended to everything. Everything the guy does, he uses a hammer differently than we use a hammer. He builds for other reasons, huh?
Wasn't the definite reason before?
So as you could say, that's Rav Sheshes' question. Says so. But where's the limitation? Once you're going to say it should reflect the way we live differently, so then everything we do differently. Hey mashkimim v'anu mashkimim. Hey rutzim v'anu rutzim. Right? Yeah, last scene you were at. So that's Rav Sheshes' kasha. Says if you're going to tell me it's a break from ownership to express the way we live differently, then everything is different. What's your question, Eliyahu?
No.
The clay suda more mepasha. Yeah. So that's what Rav Nachman answers. He says you're right. Philosophically, you're right. But the Torah is defining the ikur. There are certain essential elements that we highlight this difference in, and the derech achila is really where the kedusha is fully expressed. The way that you relate to engaging the primary taiva of man, which is food, expresses the difference in Yisrael and the other nations. So that's the gzeiras hakasav. The idea is true. The idea in theory would apply to everything. It would apply to a television set. It would apply to a hammer, a car. But the gzeiras hakasav is in the primary expression. So the idea, once again, Elio, I mean like this, that if we didn't do tefillah, let's think about it that way. We didn't do tefillah, so that would imply that the guy made a kli for eating, and he has his idea of what the purpose of the kli, because he formed it. He's koveya it for a certain tashrish. If we would buy it and use it, it would imply that we're engaging in the ends that he designed this kli for. But his design was for taiva. When the guy makes the kli for a clay suda, their suda is really a suda of tumah, because it's just self-gratification. But we engage achila only b'derech kedusha, in the sense of recognizing that achila is something that man needs, but the existence of man has a higher purpose. So we engage food because we have to eat, we have to be healthy, and we need a little bit of an enjoyment, but it's not an ends in itself. So when we tovel the kelim in the mikvah, we're showing we're not just completing their design. We are purifying the kli for our own design. We take it and we eat it in a different derech. We eat with it in a different derech. It's a different phenomenon. It looks the same. They're eating and we're eating, but it's for a completely different, it's under a completely different philosophical principle. What are we doing halachically? We're doing tefillah. That's why it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah saseh. There's no lav associated with it. It's a mitzvah saseh. That's why everybody holds, if you didn't tovel kelim and you use them, the food is still kosher. It has nothing to do with that. It's an expression of an idea. We'll see. That plays into the next sugya. Sh'ula.
You eat like a pig?
That's not good. It's supposed to remind you not to eat like a pig.
Right.
Okay.